See you there. Where is there? What's the there I'm talking about? Heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, heaven was opened up for all humanity. Everybody, every human being on the planet, from then till now to into the future, each and every one of us have a home in heaven. Isn't that good to know? And Jesus told the disciples right before his death, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when it's ready for you, I'll come and get you and bring you to where I am so that you can be forever where I am. Isn't that good to know? So we have a home in heaven, don't we? And we have a place on earth, don't we? And we're kind of in between things, aren't we? And as we go through this life, we have to remember where our real home is and what our legacy is, so that not only we know that we have a place there, but it's our role as Christian followers of Jesus through his commission to the disciples after his death and resurrection. He said, go and tell everybody about what God's glory and grace and mercy and forgiveness and heaven is all about. That he is going to prepare a place for them as well. So that death has no more power. No more power. Never had any power. Never will have any power. And so we, in the meantime, we have a life to live, don't we? To our very fullest. Because we have a risen Savior who lives in us. Who causes us to do what? Live and be powerful, right? Now, this morning at sunrise service, as the people came in through the dark, some of them didn't look too alive to me. And they were, instead of coming for a hug, they were going to the coffee. And isn't that true about life sometimes? Sometimes we just are getting through, right? Just trying to get through. But you know what? When you're doing it alone, it's harder, isn't it? Really hard to do things on your own, on our own. And fear can overtake us, can't it? But fear died the night Jesus died. He taught us never again to fear death or fear anything or anyone, because we all are empowered with a resurrecting power within us all, so we can live our life to the fullest. Let's turn to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to read to you what transpired that morning. And you have to keep in mind as we read this, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary that this story is about, they had been with Jesus at the crucifixion. They had seen with their own eyes how brutally he was beaten. They saw his blood. They saw his wounds. They saw his treatment from others, the mocking, the humiliation. They saw his pain and they saw how hurt he was and how devastated they were. And they were the last at the cross after Jesus died. They watched Jesus die. And then they also watched as Joseph took the body off the cross. Bloodied, really disfigured, didn't look anything like he looked in life. Joseph took that body, wrapped it in the linen cloth, took it to a tomb and buried him. And those women watched as Joseph laid Jesus' dead body in that tomb. And the feelings they must have felt, the despair, the disappointment, the devastation of all that they had thought Jesus was going to be. All their hopes, all their dreams, all that they knew he would had done, all those miracles did not save him from dying. And I'm sure the grief, I can't imagine the grief. And they left that tomb to go get spices so they could come back and anoint his body for that burial. But it was the Sabbath, so they rested. There was that waiting time. And I don't know about you, but as we go through church services and as we go through our life. So very often, there's a lot of preparation, isn't there? You may or may not know, I mean, we have such a fabulous church and everything looks so great every time we're here together and the worship service is phenomenal, right? And thank you. And it's because of the preparation that what God prepares for you. God gets everything ready for you, knowing what's going on in your life, knowing what's going on in our life, knowing what needs to be said to you so that you'll be lifted up and helped through our service. But there's the waiting time from the time, sometimes anticipation, we call it, right? When something good's about to happen, when we prepare a gift for somebody, right? I mean, Christmas was a holiday we celebrate when Jesus was born, and it's all, but we prepare gifts, right? And that's an anticipation, an exhilaration, kind of happy kind, right, of preparation. But the preparation that Mary and Mary Magdalene had to do was a different kind of preparation. They had to go buy spices for someone they loved. They had to go do the hardest thing they could imagine to see the body of their beloved Jesus, who they believed was the Messiah, the Savior. They had to go and bring those spices and give that last gift to him and face him being dead. Life is those things, isn't it, both? Life is all of those things. Sometimes we're preparing for celebration. Sometimes we're preparing for mourning. That's what life is. God knows that. God knows we're going to have mourning times and celebratory times and everything in between. And God has a plan for it all. For it all. Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as a new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to see the tomb. They're bringing their spices. What are they expecting to see at the tomb? The courage that it had to take them, right? Just to be able to go there. And you notice they're going in a pair. See, when we go through grief, when we go through sorrow, when we go through mourning, when we go through tough times, we need another person there for us, don't we, and with us. And isn't it good to know that in a church like ours, you don't have to go through this life alone. None of you. There will always be one of us somewhere, somehow, that will be there for you. And even if we are alone, as Jesus said, I'm not really ever alone because God is always with me. So if somebody in the physical Jesus isn't here, you got the Holy Spirit with you, right? So you're never alone, right? So those two, they go to the tomb expecting to see. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Just imagine, right? You're heading there with the spices, all upset, down. Suddenly, there's an earthquake. Whoa, your life gets shaken up. You see how God steps in to our mourning? Suddenly, something good comes. There was a great earthquake because an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. Imagine that. Going to the tomb. They had seen the stone rolled in front of the tomb. Now the earthquake happens, shakes the whole earth. And the stone is rolled aside and the angel sits on top. With non-slippery pants. Hopefully. And the first words out of that angel's mouth, don't be afraid. Remember when the angel came from heaven to the shepherds in the book of Luke? What did that angel say to the shepherds? Don't be afraid. Evidently, when we get in God's presence and power, and when something suddenly happens that we're not expecting, our first human reaction very often is fear. And so what does God have to do? Remind us. Don't be afraid. Settle down. Something good is about to happen. Because when God says don't be afraid, that probably means we should be afraid, or maybe we think we ought to be afraid, right? And if somebody says to you, don't be afraid, you sometimes think, why did you say that to me? The other word for that also is you're going to be in awe. So don't imagine what you think is supposed to happen is going to happen. Because most of us imagine it, don't we? Do we not predict our own future sometimes? And the future of others, right? And that's where fear comes from, doesn't it? We call that anxiety. That's different than anticipation. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. This angel from heaven is shaking up the guards. They've got torches. They've got swords. They're afraid of this angel. Do you see the power of God? Who needs to fear the power of God? Only someone that's against God. Our enemy, Satan, needs to really be scared of God. Do we need to be afraid of God? No. Why? God's on our side, right? We're on the right side, team. We really are. So we have nothing to fear, do we? Remember, fear died? What gets resurrected? Hope. New life. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has been raised from the dead just as he said it would happen. Do you ever feel sometimes that God speaks to you and tries to help you and encourage you to know that everything's going to be okay? Anybody ever have that happen? Even when something is going wrong and nothing's going right? And sometimes there's something about some kind of peace that says I'm going to get you through this. Do you believe that's going to happen? Yes, no, maybe, right, when it's happening? Come see where his body was, past tense, lying. See, why did the angel invite them in to see the body, or the lack thereof? To show them. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never been to the tomb of Jesus. I've never seen that place. But I believe he was risen. When you're going through something, I believe God's going to see you through. Is God going to show you that? Then the angel says, and now go quickly and tell his disciples he's been raised from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember, I have told you. So not only does the angel say that Jesus is no longer there, he's been raised from the dead, now they give the women instructions. Go ahead. Jesus is out of the tomb. Not only is he out of the tomb, he's heading to Galilee. And he's going to see you there. Would you like to meet Jesus? Wouldn't that be cool, like if Jesus like suddenly appeared in here somewhere? Behind the door? Should I open it? Where is Jesus? So can I see Jesus, please? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I see. He's alive. He's alive. Whoa, I see Jesus. Wow. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened. Wow. But also filled with great joy. And they rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. Just imagine this, right? They're at the tomb. They got to go find the disciples who are hiding, by the way. Because they don't remember what Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead. Their belief system, their fear took over them. And they were hiding from the Pharisees. They did not really understand or comprehend or even maybe believe. It was too hard to believe. Isn't it sometimes too hard to believe that God loves you? I mean, knowing who you really are. Okay, I'll say about me. Okay. God really knows me. Even more than you know me. In fact, you only know some of me. The part I want to show you. The good me. But that ain't always me. And don't talk to my wife after service. This is Easter. But you know what I know about God? God loves me anyway. Okay. But that's not believable, is it, when you think about it? It doesn't make sense, does it? We don't deserve that, do we? Unconditional love, forgiveness, mercy, being set free. Isn't it hard to comprehend and believe sometimes? And sometimes when other people are trying to tell us otherwise, do we sometimes believe they're baloney? Do we sometimes believe it? And what happens to us? We become afraid of them, afraid of rejection, right? That's what happened to the disciples. Fear took over them. But what does God do? See, when we're in fear or when they were in fear, Jesus did rise from the dead. He overcame death. He overcame everything that was supposed to keep him down and keep him out. And the thing that Jesus wanted the most is for his disciples who really wanted to believe in him and really just couldn't for whatever reason. We sometimes are those people. We are. Is our relationship with God a little difficult from time to time when he doesn't do things our way? Yes. When we don't understand why things happen and how they happen or they shouldn't be happening and all that, right? And other people tell us why we shouldn't believe, or whatever the case might be, and we do sometimes get afraid, right? But you see, God is not going to ever leave us those places. He never leaves us in a place of doubt or fear or worry or death. He never will. He won't do it. You're too valuable to him. He gave his life for you so you could live, right? Right? So do you think God wants you to stay in fear and sorrow and grief and lack? Of course he doesn't. So here's what transpires. The angel says to those two women, go get the disciples and tell them to meet Jesus in Galilee. He's risen from the dead and he'll meet you there. And so those women, I wish I was one of those, man. I'm not a great runner, but man, I'm telling you what. If Jesus said to me, hey, somebody's in trouble, and somebody's in fear, and somebody's afraid, and somebody is doubting themselves or doubting God, or someone's discouraged, but go tell them. Go tell them God is on the way to help you. God is going to see you through this. God is going to transform and change what you thought was lost and what was dead. He's going to bring it back to life in a new, greater way. Be like, oh, I can't wait to get to them, right? It says here in the scriptures that they rushed to find the disciples. It's kind of like, look out of my way. Here I go. I got to go. Why weren't they thinking about the Pharisees might get them? The Sanhedrin, the Roman guards. You see what happens when you put another person's life and their best good in front of you, what they're going through matters more than whatever happens even to you, your time, your energy, or your mind, that goes out the window, doesn't it? when you want to tell somebody about the saving power of Jesus Christ and how you can be risen from the dead and you can have eternal life and that what you're going through, God's going to get you out of it and make it better and different for you. God's going to transform what's happening in your life and give you joy. Not that the circumstances change, but that peace comes within you and you say, God loves me and that's enough. I have God. And God is holding me through even this difficult time. And even if nobody else likes me or loves me, and maybe they know everything about me, and maybe they're not going to know anything about me because I'm not going to tell them anyway because I don't want them to judge me, but if it happens to slip out from somebody who really knows me, you're not going to believe it, I know. But I've been forgiven. God still loves me. And as hard as it is for us to love the way God wants us to love, that's what this is about. Jesus showed his intense, immense love for all people by dying on the cross so that you and me and everybody could be forgiven and set free and have eternal life. So we have no fear of that, do we? Of rejection from God. And I'll tell you what, if people want to reject you, so be it. As long as God's my, got me, right? But for the people that don't know that, isn't it important for us to get that message to them? And no matter what, no matter how afraid we might be in that moment, we're going to rush, aren't we? As they went, Jesus met them. Just think about that. They're rushing to go tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection. And as they went, Jesus shows up. Listen, as you're going to do whatever you do for God, as you go through your life, as you go to help somebody else with this glorious, wonderful, fantastic message of eternal life and us being resurrected people and that life does go on eternally, as you go to do that, Jesus meets you on the way. So guess what? Jesus went to encourage and be with those two women as they went to tell the disciples, right? And here's what he says. Greetings. And they ran to him. They held his feet, and they worshiped him. Wow. Remember, what were they heading to go do initially when this long sermon began? They were heading to the tomb, right? What were they going to go see? A lifeless body. What do they get on their way to telling someone else about the resurrection? Jesus Christ himself shows up. God, right there in front of their face, alive. He's alive forever. And so are we. Forever's a long time. It's awesome, right? And what they do is they worship him. They put their hands on his feet. Remember the woman that wept at his feet? Remember her? Worshipped at his feet. Same kind of worship. Every time you go and tell someone about the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, you're worshiping God. That's what we're here to do as a church, to continue to tell the good news. Jesus is alive and so are we. And we're here to live our life to the greatest abundance that God has given us and to share that good news with others. Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They will see me there. So Jesus just came and reiterated what the angel said, right? He shows himself to them right before their eyes. But he doesn't just let them worship him. He says, go to my disciples and tell them I'm going to meet them in Galilee, and they will see me there. So those women had a message for those disciples, those doubters, those people that were afraid. We have a message to you, and you have a message to everybody else that you come into contact with, however way, shape, or form. One of the first messages you want to always tell people is, don't be afraid. No matter what you're going through, God's got this. And God will help you say the right words as that time goes on in that particular situation. So I'm going to see you there, right? Where am I going to see you? No, in the fellowship hall in a little while. We have refreshments back. Oh, no. I'm going to see you serving God in numerous, many ways. Helping the poor, feeding the hungry, helping the sick, visiting those in hospitals, meeting with people who are lost and alone, people who are afraid, people who are hurting, people who are broken, and people who don't know about God's love and forgiveness. That's where we're going to see you, taking Christ, who's risen in you and in me and in us. And we're going to see you in all of those places where all the other people are, sharing the gospel message, the good news, that although Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and he's alive, and so are all of we. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So church, I think it's important that you take this message that you heard today, that what you believe is true today, that Jesus rose from the dead, and then you share it with one another. Not just on Easter Sunday when it's appropriate. You know when Easter matters the most, when resurrection matters the most? When someone's at their worst. When someone feels alone, when someone needs forgiveness and mercy and grace, and when someone needs to be lifted up. So we as a church, we're going to rush to tell others about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen.